Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for this day. God, I submit my spirit to the spirit of the living God that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. I pray, Father, that my utterances will be full of life, transforming the hearts of men. For every word I utter, let it be a light into the hearts of men. And may that light shine so brightly upon each and every listener that they are able to shine the world with your light in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, now we are continuing from where we left. And we are talking about the art of following, which is discipleship. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers of men. But he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left the tents and followed him. You see, the Bible, the entire Bible, is a book of following. This shows you that as a believer, you are not self-made. You have to follow. You are believing the gospel because you heard somebody preach. You believe because somebody came your way. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, how will they believe unless somebody sent, unless they hear the gospel? How can somebody hear the gospel unless somebody sent? So this shows you from Genesis to Revelation, there's a man influencing you with the message, with the knowledge of God. And that is why Jesus came, was made flesh, to relate with man so that men can follow, they can emulate his life, and they are able to replicate the same to others who are able to replicate Jesus through their lives. You find at Antioch, these disciples in the book of Acts, scripture says they looked at them, and though they looked unlearned, they looked untrained, but they looked at them and say, these men must have been with Jesus. Reason being is their emulation. Remember in Luke chapter 11, the disciples tell Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," just like the way John the Baptist taught his disciples. So it shows you that the level or the rate of emulating, copying, mimicking, following was at a very high scale in the Jew culture. And we are borrowing that same level or frequency of emulating when it comes to the things of God. For us to replicate God, when we read the scripture, "When he shall appear, we shall appear with him, and you shall, as he is, so shall we be." It is not just a fact of being born again. It is a fact that is realized through discipleship. So that when Jesus appears, people can say, "Now we see Jesus," and we cannot differentiate the two. You know, at salvation, scripture says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For this reason, the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved." This shows you that when it comes to the love of God, the day I accept Jesus, I become on the same level where it is hard for God to differentiate or to isolate or to put variables or different scales of how he loves Jesus and me. He loves us the same because what God gave is love. What I received is the love of the Father. So when the Father looks at me, it is his love he's seeing. And that love is the same love that is in Jesus Christ. In discipleship, the emulation need to be so intense, so single. It's an emulation that brings out a singleness of character, a singleness of communication, a singleness of many things that we see in Jesus Christ. Like, we should not, as a believer, you should not be struggling to forgive. But it doesn't come automatic. It is a deliberate action, a deliberate and intentional action somebody puts on board to be able to forgive. You loving somebody, even if they look how or behave how, if they are believers, intentional practice should always put you at a par where you're able to reflect and say, you know what? I love this person. I love this man. I love this character. So when Jesus is telling these disciples, follow me and I will make you, we find in the journey of Jesus engaging and having conversation with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. He's having with the sinners. He's going to Zacchaeus' house. He's meeting with Nicodemus. All these places, Jesus is meeting them with the disciples. It is in that process that the making is happening. You find that he was teaching the crowd, but on the side, he comes to explain it further to the disciples. This is a clear indication today to note that for clarity's sake, you have to be keen on the details and you need more time for discipleship to happen. It was day in, day out. Jesus was not meeting the disciples over the weekend. It is a deliberate, intentional action. Do they get tired? Yes. Were they having questions? Peter says, we've left our families. So what are we benefiting? All those questions were there. All those misjudgment, misconception, uncertainty, anxiety was on board. For Peter to come and write, do not be anxious for nothing. It shows you that there was anxiety that was reigning. But above all, they choose to commit, to follow what God was doing. When you look at Jesus, he says that they left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 37, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not, you get that? In Luke 14:26, if people come to me and are not ready to abandon their fathers, mothers, wives, children, brothers, this shows you that the level of engagement, the level of commitment, if you want to be my disciple, in New Living Translation, Luke 14:26, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So this is a way Jesus is telling us that the following of Christ will have to be a sacrificial following. That is say, even hating your own life. If you have discrepancy in your discipleship, then you are wanting to be a disciple. So Jesus says, follow me, imitate me, emulate me. In emulating me, you shall be a disciple. And you look at his final instruction in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17 to 20, he's telling the disciples, go make disciples. Jesus' final instructions to the disciple is to duplicate him by making other people disciples. This shows you that in discipling, we don't reinvent the wheel by bringing mysteries or bringing the spectacular, trying to show people we are deep. Oh, I have deep revelation. I have deep. That is man's gymnastic way of captivating your attention. In discipleship, Jesus says, teach them to observe what I have instructed. Commanded is instructed. What I have instructed you. So the teaching is to teach what Jesus has already taught them. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, these are the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So this shows you that what they were going to share, what they were going to demonstrate is the gospel
that Jesus taught them and did. So it is in his life, it is in his doing, he emulating his life, that we are able to produce teaching. You are called a disciple or a follower of somebody you are replicating. You might move from this country to another country, but because you are a keen follower of the person you're looking unto, you are able to replicate. People are able to say, this is a son or a daughter or a follower, a faithful disciple of this person because of emulating the details, the life of this person. You know, there are people you watch and you just say, ah, that is Bishop Oyedepo, that is Pastor Chris, that is Cliff Dollar, that is T.D. Jakes. That is because of what they have imbibed the life of these people by following the Christ in these people. Remember, the following here is the Christ. It's not the cult that I see people follow. You're told to eat grass. Did Jesus eat grass? No. You're told to do crazy stuff. That is not following Jesus. Any message that does not glorify Christ, then it's another gospel. You need to vomit it, spit it out, and not embrace it. People say, look for a church believing, a Bible believing church, sorry. Look for sound doctrine. But the people you're telling them about sound doctrine and Bible believing church have no clue. So the best way to grow as a child of God is give yourself to discipleship. It is through discipleship you'll know which kind of doctrine are you listening, the faith, the kind of faith. Your need of probably don't wear your need. That's a statement I heard from a pastor friend of mine. Don't allow your need to determine your arena of discipleship because you'll get skewed information. That is where you'll be told to eat grass. You'll eat grass because of need. Need is an expensive error that men fall into. I need a miracle, so I'm following this man of God, this woman of God, because of miracle. So if this woman of God tells you to do something that is outside the word of God, you will do it. Why? Because you are a slave to that woman or man of God. As they meet your need, you become their slave. But what you need to be, a bond servant, a slave servant of the gospel, not man. Do I need to serve man? Yes. Why do I serve man? It's in the serving of men or serving man that I am able to replicate and showcase the love of the Father or the servanthood attitude of Jesus. He says, let the greatest one be the servant of them all. So in that service, I'm actually fulfilling scripture and obliging to what the scripture says. But do I have to serve even when I find the doctrine is wrong? No. Because how is the doctrine not? When it's not glorifying Jesus, how does it glorify Jesus? By making you a better person with the gospel, in the gospel, in preaching the message. So if I don't find value or an additional advantage in doing the gospel or walking in the things of the gospel, then it means I have to retract myself. If the gospel is pointing me to man and not to Christ, then I have to put question marks there. So in discipleship, we don't reinvent the wheel by bringing mysteries or the spectacular. The things involved in discipleship or in disciple making is the word of God, John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4, and then there's the people, that is man, Mark chapter 16 verse 15, and also John chapter 3 verse 34 to 35, and Revelation chapter 10 verse 14. The Spirit of God, that's number 3. So the 4 things that are involved in discipleship is the word of God. We listen, receive the word of God. Then the people, the man who is receiving, how will they believe? That is the man. then the Spirit of God, He will convict men of sin. John chapter 16, from verse 7 to 14. Then the mission of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. What you've learned, commit it to faithful men. So discipleship is about hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So I hear the word, then immediately I hear the word. Who is hearing the word? The person. So the person preaching and the person hearing are the elements. The word of God, the man. Without the man, then the word of God is ineffective. Because the word of God affects man. And then man with the word of God affects others. And these affected people transform the world, transform the environment. Then number three is the Spirit of God. Because as much as I hear the word of God, without the Spirit of God convicting my heart, then it's just information in the mind. What God wants to change is the heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 from verse 25 to 27. It says, I will give you a new heart. I will remove the heart of the stone. I will put my spirit in you. So it is important for the Holy Spirit. Then the mission of God with his 2 Timothy is to duplicate disciples. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. I read from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations or of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, never, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the reason why we do discipleship is without us replicating Jesus, we are actually suffocating the mission. This shows you that man is a product of influence. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this, is Paul. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus and is giving them very, very important information concerning who they are or who they have become in Christ Jesus. So in Ephesians chapter 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So he says, you have been made alive. You once walked according to the course of this world. So you walked according to the course of this world. Romans chapter 5 verse 17, 18, 19 says, through man's sin, one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. So the entry of sin was to the world. Now, picking that mind of Paul and saying, you walked according to the course of this world, it means you are activating and working out sin. James chapter 1 verse 13, let he who sins not say that God has provoked him to sin. No, God does not tempt us with evil, but man sin because they have given themselves to their sinful desires. And sin at the end of the day births death. So this shows you that whether you know it or you don't know it, every man has an influence. Every man has an influence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This shows you that when he says, for our weapons of warfare, they are not carnal. They're mighty, pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? The things man has decided in his mind, in his head, as the true information, and he's using it and to pull them down, you have to subject them to the word of God. For example, Peter says, let me just go to the and I want to show you something. Hallelujah, glory to God. First Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Look at that. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. This shows you that Peter is saying there's something you received from those who went ahead of you, those people you call fathers. So every man living, walking here on earth has an impact that is transcending into the past. Your fathers, the people you saw, the colleagues you have, the people you called elders, the people you imitated, your behaviors today can collectively be summed up to the influence you got before. So how do you change that? By subjecting every thought to the knowledge of Christ. So influence is there. Until you decide to change the influence, the traditions that has been there, that you are told when you get out and you meet maybe a certain animal in Africa, it shows that you have bad luck. That is a stronghold, a thinking, a tradition that has been there. So you have to subject it to the knowledge of Christ by saying, even if you meet that animal, you say, you know that you are blessed. You're not determined by the animals you meet. You are determined by what Christ has done. He has redeemed that not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood. So that shows you that every man is a product of influence. Every man is a product of influence. Let's read one more scripture, John chapter 13. Hallelujah. John chapter 13, verse 34, let's read, a new commandment I give you, we said commandment is also instruction, a new instruction I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all we know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So that shows you that Jesus, you are a disciple of Jesus by loving people. Why? Because he loved you. So you are emulating the same love to other people. Glory to Jesus. So as you get into discipleship, as a disciple of God, you need to know there's an influence that needs to alter. It needs to change so that I can subject my influence to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Believers are disciples of Christ through men who have believed the message or received Christ. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, let your light so shine that men might see and glorify your Father in heaven. These believers or disciples, they aim to help or teach another believer or another person. They help to teach, convert others, then mature them through the teachings, Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20. And this teaching has one doctrine, which is the word of God. For what you've heard, continue in this, what you've heard. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14 to 16. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. Let's just read that. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 28, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Scripture says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his work, working which works in me mightily. So the working of Paul is, the working that is in Paul is the working of Christ. And he's saying in verse 28, let's start from verse 27, to them God will to make known that what we are of the riches of the glory of his mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach. So it's preaching Christ in him, the hope of glory. That is the doctrine. Let's look for another scriptures in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, let's look at verse 6. Let's start from verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. If a man is blameless and the husband of wife, having faithful, not a cause of dispassion or insubordination. Let's go to verse 1 of Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bond servant, a slave of God, an apostle. Apostle is a messenger of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the time began, but in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the instruction of God, our Savior. So what was the instruction? Jesus said, teach the gospel. So he's saying, this is the promise he made before. This is the hope. That is what we are preaching. So the teaching or the doctrine is one. And in through teaching that we do impartation. Teaching is important because it informs where your faith stands. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 9. Look at verse 6-8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments or the instructions of men. This shows you that teaching the right doctrine informs, or it's important to inform your faith, because that faith is determined by the teaching you are receiving. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, we've seen that the things you've gotten inherited from men have become your doctrine. So Jesus came to liberate us from that. And you look at Titus 1, what we've read right now. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, sound doctrine is important. This informs why God is asking us to draw back and do discipleship. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 to 13, which is our theme scripture as a church, equipping saints for the work of ministry. And that is what I'm doing right now. So our mandate is to equip you so that you are aware of sound doctrine and are able to teach others, and you're able to stand. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, that you're able to stand. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 19. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 19. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 19. You'll find that this is what the writer of Hebrew is instructing and directing men on what to do. Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. Look at that, verse 18. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored so that to you soonest. So Paul is asking and saying that I pray that I may be restored to you soonest. There's something I'm looking for. Hebrews chapter 13 verse. Yes, verse 9, not 19. Let's start from verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods, material things that perish, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So there's a doctrine that you will listen and it will not profit you to become a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Discipleship means putting God first. Luke chapter 14 verse 33. And putting the other things far off. You just put God first. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And this is my prayer today for you, that you will pick what is of Christ from this conversation, from my life. You'll pick what is of Christ and follow it through. That is what we follow. The character of Christ we see in men, in people who've gone ahead of us. It can be a pastor or a brother, that you see the way he loves people and you commit yourself to become a disciple, a student, a learner of those things and be able to emulate them or copy them so that somebody else might learn from you or you are able to teach others intentionally. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we shall remain as faithful disciples, faithful servants of your word in all that we do. May your name be glorified. And let the church be edified. Let this light so shine into our future, brighter and brighter daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.